Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Brandon Bigsby, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everyone out there had a great holiday weekend. We are back and ready to go. A packed show today. Titans fall to 1-11. With one of the worst performances you'll see from an NFL team yesterday. And of course, Vanderbilt goes into Neyland Stadium and comes out 45-24 winners. Commodores 10-2 await their college football playoff fate coming up. Rankings tomorrow should give a pretty good indication about where they're going to stand when the bracket is selected next Sunday. Brandon, how's it going?
Doing good, man. Had a good Thanksgiving weekend.
Love it.
Watched a lot of football, which is always a fun part of Thanksgiving weekend. Ate some good food, so can't complain, man. Can't complain at all.
Love it. Yeah, Parker out today, so glad to have Brandon with us. It's coming off the Thanksgiving holiday. We've got plenty to talk about. Didn't have a show Thursday or Friday. We got back from I got back from the Virgin Islands yesterday morning, so we are all set to go. Let's start with the Titans here. We'll get more into college football on the in the second hour of the show, including the coaching carousel continuing to spin and Lane Kiffin's saga coming to a close after a dramatic weekend down in Oxford. But yesterday, that was just a really tough watch between the Titans and the Jaguars. Not only was the offense horrible, they only scored 3 points. They had 70 yards on the first drive and then like 110 total the rest of the game. They could not move it. You fumble on a kickoff that ends up leading to the Jaguars taking a 15-3 lead early that you couldn't really dig out of. And it's really disappointing because this team did take back-to-back steps forward against Houston and Seattle. The Houston game overall wasn't great, but you were in that game. You had a chance to send it to overtime. You got it to 13-13, and you had a chance to win it against a division rival at home. Step forward. Last week, you put up 24 points. I mean, that seemed almost impossible for this team early on in the season to get to 24 points. And they did it against a good Seahawks defense. It was back-to-back steps forward, and then yesterday happens. And it's hard not to look at what happened yesterday and the post-game comments from a lot of the players and say anything other than Mike McCoy has lost this locker room. It was about as obvious as it could get based on the comments of Jeffrey Simmons saying we need a leader in this room for the next head coach, and Cam Ward basically saying, yeah, we need to be going for it on 4th-and-3 after Mike McCoy. We were just talking about this, Brandon, before we went on air. Mike McCoy says 4th-and-3 is too long to go for it, but 4th-and-2 we would have gone. I just don't get it.
It just feels so directionless. And that feels like kind of the word of the season, really, for the organization, is that it feels really directionless. Because what is the difference between 1 yard? And on the other flip side of it, even if in some crazy world 4th-and-3 is considered too long, what do you have to lose? You're 1-10. I mean, there is nothing for you to lose in that situation when you're a 1-10 team that's down by 3 possessions at home against a division rival.
Yeah, Mike McCoy, after being asked for weeks to be more aggressive, I mean, it was every single press conference of, hey, it's 4th-and-1. Why aren't you going for it? You're 1-8. And he just said, hey, we have our decisions. We say if it's a certain down and distance, we'll go for it. If not, we're going to kick it. And then last week, they went for it on 4th down all the time because they had to. And Mike McCoy was taking victory laps on the media saying, look how aggressive I was. And he did it again yesterday. I mean, he's telling everybody, oh, I was so aggressive going for it on 4th-and-1 late in that first half. I was way, way more aggressive. And I'm like, it was 4th-and-1. You were down 12 points late in the half. You should be going for that. That's not being aggressive. It's just being smart. And to be honest, you shouldn't have had to go for it on 4th down there because you were too busy talking to Bones Fossil and got yourself a delay of game because you weren't watching the play clock as the head coach. And I understand Cam Ward has to get the playoff on time. That's his job too. But if you're the head coach and it's 3rd down and 3, one of the main things that you need to be looking for is, hey, are we going to get this playoff? Because we can't have a 3rd-and-3 turn into a 3rd-and-8. You had all 3 timeouts. Bones Fossil walks over and talks to Mike McCoy, and Mike McCoy lets the play clock run out and ends up making it 3rd-and-8. You get 7 yards, and then Tony Pollard drops what was not a great pass on 4th down, but it was a catchable pass. Mike McCoy has clearly lost the locker room, And I don't know how you get through these last five games. I mean, this season has felt like it's gone on forever, and you got five games to go. Two of them are against teams that are not very good. You're playing the Browns this upcoming week in what is going to be maybe the highest rated game between teams with four wins combined ever, between the Browns and Titans because of Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. And yeah, maybe you could win that game. I wouldn't bet on it based on the way your offensive line is playing. Myles Garrett might have 30 sacks by the end of that one. He's already got 19 this year. And then you play the Saints at home at the end of the year. Maybe you win that one. Saints had a chance to win yesterday against the Dolphins. This team might go 1-16, and considering the way they got their one win, you could put this team in contention for one of the worst teams in NFL history if things continue to trend the way that it's going right now.
I mean, I'll be honest, I think they're up there. And again, like you said, considering the context of what it took for them to win that one game that they did win, I mean, you could at least argue that those 07 Dolphins teams, those 08, 09 Lions teams, at least they came right close a couple of times. The Titans have not been particularly close in any of these games this year. Closest they got was arguably Seattle last week.
Right. Seattle and Houston the last 2 weeks have been two of the better games they've played. But outside of that, it's not like you can say, oh, it's a play here or there. Or to use the Rand Carthon, the ball didn't bounce our way. The ball could bounce your way about 30 times. In fact, it did against Arizona, and that's how you won that game. Most of these games, it doesn't matter how much the ball bounces your way, you're still not going to win. And maybe they sneak out another win. It is the NFL. These things do happen. But I would put the ceiling at two wins. And at least with that, you look at, you know, Tankathon is becoming a highly bookmarked page on my web browser. And at least if you lose, or if you win one more game, you are guaranteed to have a top four pick because the Jets were able to walk off a win against the Falcons yesterday. So at least that's a plus. You're hoping to get the number one overall pick, and I saw today the projections say the Titans have over a 50% chance to get the number one overall pick, which tells you how the analytics feel about this Titans team possibly getting another win this season. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We want to hear from you. It is a Reaction Monday, so if you have thoughts on the Titans, Vanderbilt, Lane Kiffin, anything, we want to hear from you throughout the show. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to our phone lines. Dustin from Hopkinsville has called in. Dustin, thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Yeah, man. First of all, congratulations to Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia. Oh, I got to say this before anything. UK sucks and the Vols do too. All right, guys.
So at least you're free from Mark Stoops.
Whenever I hang up and they start texting in, oh, UK sucks. Sit on the couch with us, brother. Where y'all at? Go Pavia. Man showed out. He deserves to be in New York. And Vanderbilt, you know, I feel like they deserve to be there. I don't know if them or Oklahoma would go further. I think Vandy because of Pavia. But anyways, what an emotional roller coaster my Titans take me on. And it never fails that I just buy into it and then they just smack me in the face the next week. Cam Ward, man, I really thought he was hitting stride. And I said, hey, the heck with the number one pick. If my quarterback's developing, the most important spot on my team is looking like he might be average to top 10 or better quarterback, I'll take it. Let Borgonzi cook. But, man, it's almost like we're back to square one yesterday, and McCoy running the ball like six straight runs, positive yards, good yards, and he said, whoa, initiate the tank. Let's go. Stop running. Pollard's looking good. Don't do it no more. Oh, my goodness. But, man, it's rough. McCoy definitely is not getting an interview if I'm Amy. And, buddy, I don't care if we're on our own one. We are one in what, 10? You go for everything because every play accounts for Cam Ward in that fourth and one situation, fourth and three, fourth and 10, I don't care. Go for it and let him be under duress and see if he can – we need that one extra down because if he completes it, it may be a touchdown down the road and it's experience for him. Stop doing this dumb stuff. Stop kicking field goals. Go for the damn touchdown. Go for the go for glory, man. Guts or go home. And he has no guts. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dustin. Your point on Kentucky, at least Mark Stoops is gone. And Matthew in Nashville just texted, before y'all rub it in that Vandy beat Tennessee, have any of y'all talked to Connor since last night? How happy is he that Kentucky actually fired Stoops? I have not talked to Connor, but I did see he posted on his Instagram story about this, so I'm sure he is thrilled. But you make a good point, Dustin. This team has nothing to lose. They're 1-11, and Mike McCoy's decisions just never make any sense. 3337 says these guys don't want the Titans to win. Pollard finally running good and they just quit running. Yeah, Tony Pollard looked great to start the game yesterday. I was saying last week how Tony Pollard looked like he was running with his feet stuck in the mud, and he looked great to start the game yesterday, and they basically just went away from it. The offense, you go down, you get 3 points on the first drive, 70 yards, and you completely go away from what got you down there. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and Mike McCoy has clearly lost this locker room. We'll talk more about Mike McCoy throughout the show, but I do want to talk about Cam Ward because he was bad yesterday. Cam Ward had a really bad day against the Jaguars, maybe his worst since that Houston game where Vanderbilt got shut out and he went 10 for 26 throwing the ball. It was that bad from Cam Ward yesterday. We'll talk about it coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today prior to the Monday Night Football game. Tonight's Monday Night matchup is the Giants and the Patriots. Jake Lyman, Brandon Bigsby with you on this Monday morning. Next man up, 1025 the game. Mondays were made for Masero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action. From queso to kickoffs, this is how Masero does game night. Masero Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap. Jake Lyman, Brandon Bigsby with you on this Monday morning. Your reaction Monday. We'll take all your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Going to talk Cam Ward in this segment, but first let's go back to our phone lines. Edward is on the line. Edward, thanks for waiting. What you got for us today?
Hey, guys, can you hear me okay?
Yep, we got you.
Tennessee fan, it's just unbelievable. Josh Heupel is a great coach. Not just a good coach, but he's a great coach. They can't wait to get rid of their coaches. This carousel of coaching changes in the NCAA is getting out of hand. I tell you what, let's do this. Let's move Josh Heupel to Middle Tennessee State University, which is the largest university in the state. We're 3-8 at Middle Tennessee State University. The president's been there for decades. The AD's been there for decades. I'm getting tired of it. I pay my money. I make my contributions. And this is what we get. The basketball teams at MTSU. They're playing UAB tonight. They're picked to win the conference. We're 4-3. The women, who I've always thought were one of the better women's basketball games, I believe they have a losing record right now. Yes, Coach Engel is one of the greatest. He's getting ready to hit 500. But I'm tired of it. I told my wife, I am probably not going to go out to Middle Tennessee State University football games next year unless we see some changes. Because I am. I'm very aggravated with everything. Anyway, thanks for letting me be my counselors this morning. I appreciate it. I feel a little bit better. All right, thanks. If you comment on these things, guys.
Thanks for the call, Edward. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously been a rough season football-wise down there in Murfreesboro, and I saw a few players from that MTSU team entering the transfer portal. It hasn't been good, but things can turn around quickly in college football, and we've seen that in the past. The basketball teams with Rick Insull, I wouldn't be too concerned about that. He's got a very young team down there in Murfreesboro. I think they're going to figure it out. But I understand your complaints there, Edward. For Vols fans who want Josh Heupel gone, the grass isn't always greener. We talked about this with Penn State. We've talked about it with the Titans, right? Like, the grass isn't always greener. And the conversation all offseason was, are Vols fans going to give Josh Heupel a pass on this year? If they go 8-4 and they miss the playoffs, do they give him a pass? And I think a lot of Vols fans have said, hey, they did the most that they could, considering, you know, you lost your quarterback midway through the spring. Joey Aguilar ended up being a great fit for this system, but they couldn't beat the good teams on their schedule, right? They lost to an 11-win Georgia team, a 10-win Oklahoma team, a 10-win Vanderbilt team, and a 10-win Alabama team, right? They played four good teams. They lost all those games. Josh Heupel, I don't think, is the problem. And there's a reason why his name is at least being floated for other jobs, right? Like, Penn State still hasn't hired a head coach. There's supposedly a mystery candidate out there, and some people are connecting Josh Heupel. Some believe it's Kalani Sitake over at BYU. Like, there's a lot of names being thrown out. I understand Vols fans' frustrations, right? I mean, you go to the playoffs last year, you take a step back this year, you lose to Vanderbilt at home, which isn't something they ever want to see. But I wouldn't blame Josh Heupel. You want to fire Tim Banks? Great. I saw a lot of Vols fans calling for that on Saturday, and maybe that's something they do, but Josh Heupel deserves a little bit longer leash than what some people are giving them. 615-737-1025. Back to the phone lines. Adam in Portland is called in. Adam, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I wish they would fire Heupel and the Titans could hire him. It would be so sweet. dude, look, hey, I've got four sisters and a brother, and they're all over between 30 and 50. And we all live different lives. We all got to go to the Titans game together on Sunday, and it was cold. The offense was the ones to come out of the tunnel and get cheered for. And let me tell you, every lineman that came out, it was crickets in that stadium, except for Skoronski. We cheered for Skoronski. So, and it proved it yesterday, man. Like, it's incredible how uncoordinated that line is. And I'm sitting here, like, and Cam's getting worse, man. Like, I know everybody's going to beat it to death, but, like, you've got to get a good quarterback coach. You've got to hire the best coach and quarterback coach tandem possible for him, because right now he's getting nothing and he's regressing like crazy. That last play, the last play before we all left, which was like 6 minutes left, where he throws it to Spears or whoever, I think it was Spears, on like a fourth and a million and gets him killed.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Dude, he's really not seeing it at all well right now. So that's what I walk away with, is going, our quarterback, man, this season could not come to an end quick enough, and we've got to get a smart quarterback coach for him.
Yeah, it's a very good point, Adam, and that's where I was planning on going with this segment. Cam Ward was bad yesterday. Maybe his worst game of his rookie season. The accuracy was bad. I mean, the third down throw to Elik Iyemanner, who was wide open down the sideline, and he just airmailed him. And the play that Adam was just referencing, it's 4th and 18 late in that game. And Cam Ward, just for the guy who calls himself a gunslinger, and early on in the season you were having to stop him from throwing the ball downfield too much and not taking his checkdowns, it feels like the pendulum has swung too far in the other direction, where he is scared to throw the ball downfield. It was 4th and 18 yesterday. You're down by 22 points. Let something rip and see what happens, right? Like, if you throw a pick, you throw a pick. It's fourth down. A pick would be better than what he did. And instead, he just flips it to Tajay Spears all alone on the sideline with nowhere to go, and it's a turnover on downs. He didn't throw the ball beyond 20 yards downfield once yesterday.
Yeah, and I think that what makes a lot of it so puzzling is that when you looked at the scouting reports back in January, February, March, the number one thing that you saw Cam Ward often praised for is that he's a gunslinger.
Right.
He's not afraid to take those risks downfield to try to go for that big shot play, sometimes to his detriment, often not. And there were a lot of scouts and coaches that were like, they're going to have to almost coach some of that aggression out of him a little bit because it can be dangerous. Yesterday, he looked really timid throughout that game, and that just seems really uncharacteristic, and obviously you don't want to read too much into things, but, I mean, you saw after the game yesterday, he said that the way the season has gone has really tested him mentally, and you maybe kind of wonder if some of the struggles this season, if it's starting to kind of creep into some of that timidness, some of that shying away from trying to throw it deep, because that fourth down, the Tajay Spears especially, man, I mean, that's one of the few hospital balls that I've not seen go more than 3 yards down the field.
Yeah, Adam said he left after that game. I turned the TV off after that play because I just didn't understand the thought process there. That is one of my biggest pet peeves with quarterbacks, and you see it all the time with these players of fourth down. An interception is not the worst thing that can happen, right? Like, you saw it last year with Nico against Arkansas, where it's fourth down, and instead of throwing it and giving a receiver a chance, he just runs out of bounds for 3 yards. I saw it with Lenora Sellers in the game against Texas A&M earlier this year. He did the same thing. It's fourth down. It's late in the game. You need a play. You just ran out of bounds on fourth and 17 or whatever. Throw it downfield. Who cares what happens at that point? And I wonder if they've coached him a little bit too far out of those tendencies of being a gunslinger. Yes, you have to pick and choose the times that you want to take your shots down the field, but fourth and 18 is the time to do that. And again, he didn't throw the ball beyond 20 yards down the field yesterday. It's concerning that we are not seeing a little bit more consistency from Cam Ward, because I thought he was great in that Seahawks game. That was his best game of the season, and he took a huge step back. With this coaching staff, I don't know if we're going to see another big step forward this year.
Yeah, and to me, I think that's what would be the most concerning as a Titans fan, is that if you are a Tennessee fan, you know that this team, it is what it is, right?
Yep.
The record is what it is. You didn't have high expectations for this team even coming into the season. Really, I think the biggest success that you want to have was Cam Ward, was this rookie class. What could Cam Ward show? Could he grow? Could he develop? Could he show that he can be the guy in the future? And I think you've seen flashes of that, but when you're seeing your quarterback go from probably his best performance in the NFL to, I think you could make the argument, his worst, that is where a lot of the concerns do start to come valid. Now, I'm not saying that you should give up on Cam Ward and that he's a bust or anything like that. I think it's way too early. There are a lot of up and downs when it comes to rookies in the NFL. And I think that Jacksonville team is also really good, man. That is a really good Jaguars team that's much improved over Liam Cohen. But just some of the things that we have seen from Cam Ward tendency-wise, that I think is what can be a little bit concerning. And I don't think this coaching staff and the situation, what is around him in terms of the offensive line, in terms of the weapons, it's not doing him any favors on top of it.
Right, and you make a good point of Titans fans. The excitement around this team is not going to be wins and losses. It's going to be the young players. And yesterday was a bad day for the young players. I mean, you look at the players that you think the Titans can build around moving forward. Cam Ward, maybe his worst game as a rookie. Chim Dike, not saying it was a bad game, but he did fumble, and that fumble was massive in the flow of the game, where the Titans, yeah, they were down 7-3, but they had some momentum on that first drive, and then by the time you get the ball back, you're down 15-3, and it feels like you're playing a completely different game than you were before. Not saying Chim Dike had a bad game, but that's a bad mistake. Elik Iemanaar, we're going to get more into this later, but he has hit a wall over the last 2 months. It has been bad. And then Kevin Winston, even, who I heard yesterday that he said he was playing a completely different position than he's used to playing. So, you know, I will give some grace, but that was his worst game as a rookie so far. So pretty much nothing went right for the Titans yesterday. And I'm sure Trey has some thoughts on Cam Ward. Trey, thanks for calling. Hope you had a good holiday. What's up?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
Good. Hey, I listened to your broadcast, Vanderbilt basketball team, women's basketball team. Hey, I didn't know you. I heard you did that because you talked about it all the time, but I just want to say you did a good job.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Hey, but all I want to say is that I think that me personally, you know, I was optimistic last week on Cam Ward, and you know, I feel like that I was duped because of the simple fact that he reverted back to doing everything that he did before. And I'm going to believe my eyes. You know, it's bad. And I believe this is the worst it's been since the Titans been in town. I really believe that. I really honestly believe that. You know, it's been 11 games, you know, 3 points. You're talking about 3 points, and they're out there fighting when you got grown men out there fighting that makes millions and millions and millions of dollars. You're at your lowest point. And I just think the team just need to I don't know what they're going to do, really. And I know y'all are sick of talking about how bad they are, but, you know, it's what we see. You know, what we see and what we hear, because y'all know I like to listen. But, hey, y'all have a good day, but I don't think it could get any worse than what it is right now. And what do you think? And you have a good day. Thank you, buddy, on doing a good job on Saturday.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate you calling in. Thanks for listening in. I guess Trey listens to Titans games, and he listens to Vanderbilt women's basketball. 8-0, by the way. Trey, yeah, he makes a good point. This might be the worst it's been since the Titans have been in Nashville. In the last three calendar years, the Titans have won 10 football games. 10. Mike Vrabel has won 10 games in the last 3 months with the Patriots, by the way. Not saying that means anything, but just putting it out there, the Titans have won 10 games in the last three calendar years. That is horrible. Horrible. And yeah, it can get worse, apparently, because we've been saying for the last 2 years of, oh, well, I guess it can't get worse. It clearly can, and the Titans are well on their way to becoming the seventh franchise ever to have back-to-back number one overall picks. Five games to go. We've just got to get through five more weeks, and then the offseason mercifully hits, where hopefully you can see some strides in the right direction, whether that's the coaching search, bringing players in, but five more weeks. That's all we got to do. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones and much more. We got to continue talking about Mike McCoy because it's been horrible, and the Titans desperately need someone who can right the ship coming in here once the season ends. Jake Lyman, Brandon Bigsby with you here on this Monday morning. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Tonight on Totally Hits 93.3, catch MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on UAB at 6:30 p.m. Coverage is also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Jake Lyman, Brandon Bigsby, next man up, 1025 The Game, talking Titans to start the show, as it was another rough one yesterday. 1-11 now for the Tennessee Titans, still in sole control of the number one overall pick. Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jason from Hendersonville has been waiting patiently. Jason, thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. Y'all can expound on the 2 points I'm going to make. I called in before the draft, and I was screaming, please trade down with the Giants. Please trade down with the Giants. I wasn't a big believer in Cam when he came in, but I'm going to give the organization and the scouts benefit of the doubt, and that's saying a lot. They overlooked his size and his hand size and all the measurables, because I believe they thought they were getting a dual threat quarterback. I'm telling you right now, this guy is so slow. He looks slower than Ben Roethlisberger in his latter years and Peyton Manning in his latter years. With the big difference is he don't have the knowledge and the ability to surgically tear defenses apart with his eyes and his arm. So I'm not a big believer in him, hadn't been since the draft. And this is the perfect time. My second point is, we know we're going to be stuck with him next year. They got to give him ample time before somebody pulls the trigger on what I think is the inevitable. But this is the perfect time for you to go out and get them unsexy picks at draft and start strengthening that offensive line. Because if you continue to allow this offensive line to destroy guys in the back, the quarterbacks in the backfield, it doesn't really matter who you pull in here. Jacksonville was coming through that line like they weren't even. At one point, I watched one of the Jacksonville defenders come through untouched, and he takes Cam Ward down, and he literally looks at the camera, or the camera panned on him. He just turned his palms up to the sky and shrugged his shoulders like, really? These guys, they can't stop us. And it was an eye-opening moment for me whenever you got an NFL player out there looking over at his coaching staff going, this is all day, guys. They can't stop us. So, it's the inevitable is coming, but we have to strengthen that offensive line. And if it's draft coming up, if they don't get the offensive line right, it's going to be rinse and repeat all over again. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jason. I think that's a very reasonable take from Jason, as someone who didn't want Cam Ward, because we get plenty of unreasonable people who didn't want Cam Ward. Jason makes the point that he's going to get another year, doesn't believe in him, but you do have to build around him, right? And right now, this roster is about as bad as it gets around Cam Ward. You don't have any weapons for him with Calvin Ridley out for the year. You really do like, you like Chim Dike. I think there's hope Elik Iyemanner ends up being a piece, even though he hasn't played well lately. But you're still running him out there with fourth-round rookies. undrafted guys and veteran minimum free agents, right? Like, this is, it's not like he's getting much help on the outside. And then the offensive line has been bad. Josh Hines-Allen had a field day yesterday. I mean, he was just absolute, it was like going through a wet paper towel every time that he was going through that Titans offensive line.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's what makes this whole Cam Ward thing so interesting, because it really is tough to properly evaluate a quarterback that I think you could argue is in the worst situation for a rookie QB that we have seen maybe in the modern era. I mean, the only ones I think that come to mind that could maybe rival this is Matt Stafford when he was with the Lions. I mean, it is
it's bad.
That level of bad. And that was a team that was 0-16 when Matt Stafford came into it. And, I mean, as you mentioned, Cam Ward has been far from perfect. I don't think anyone's going to shy away from that. But, I mean, you just kind of look at what he's got out there too, man, in terms of not even just the playmakers in the offensive line, but the coaching staff. His head coach got fired 6 games into the season. The interim head coach arguably has been worse than the head coach that was fired. I mean, he can't make water in the wine at the end of the day. And it really is a tough deal for him. But at the same time, again, the biggest concern is seeing signs of regression. That's where I think the alarm bells really do start to kind of ring with Cam Ward, because that's what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, and I understand the argument of, yeah, there's nothing around him. But if you had taken the trade with the Giants, you could have built the roster up before you take the quarterback. Again, my response to that will always be, if you believe in a quarterback and you think you can find a franchise quarterback and you have the chance to take him, you take him, right? And that's what the Titans did. They felt convicted on Cam Ward. They took him. And if he ends up hitting, it's worth whatever picks you could have gotten offered for that number one overall selection. The good news is, you're bad enough that hopefully you can take advantage of the value of the number one overall pick this year. When again, it's not like you're looking at it and saying, man, we drafted Cam Ward and now this guy's coming out this year. Man, I would love to be able to take this guy because he's the next Andrew Luck. That guy doesn't exist this year. So hopefully you get another team to fall in love with Fernando Mendoza or Ty Simpson or Dante Moore or whoever it is that's coming out that they believe is the number one overall pick, and you can take advantage of it. Because this roster needs so much work, and man, I really hate that Jason is right, and they probably do need to invest more in the offensive line, because you've already spent top 100 picks in 5 of the last 6 drafts on offensive linemen, and really confidently you can only say one of them has worked out, and that's Peter Skoronski. Really disappointing. But if you don't fix the offensive line, pretty much all of your other problems are going to continue to follow you. Your hope is J.C. Latham figures it out, but based on yesterday's game, I'm not so confident in that actually happening. But it's just such a tough situation right now. The coaching is horrible. The roster is horrible. Cam Ward has not played well, but you can't really fault him when he's got horrible weapons, a horrible offensive line, and a coach who, as Wes from Hermitage, I think, puts it brilliantly here, the Titans had one scripted drive and thought they could win the game 3-0. Horribly coached game. It's exactly right. The Titans get points on the board early and are like, all right, now we just have to not lose it. The Titans play every game not to lose instead of playing to win. And when you're 1-11, what's the point? Like, I get it. If you're heading into week 18 and you need a win badly and you're up by 3 and you're like, all right, we just got to hold on. Fine. You're 1-11. Don't play not to lose, because you're probably going to lose anyway. Your team's that bad. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we will take them on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue to talk Titans on the other side. The Titans desperately need leadership, and the players told us just as much yesterday with their play on the field and their words after the game. We'll get into that coming up next. Before we transition over to college football, talk some Vandy and some Vols, the Heisman race, the coaching carousel, and much more throughout the show. Jake Lyman, Brandon Bigsby, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Brandon Bigsby, wrapping up hour number one on this Reaction Monday. Titans fall to 1-11 with a 25-3 loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. And we'll talk about it a lot through the week, setting up at least one of the more interesting games the Titans will play this year. Shedeur Sanders versus Cam Ward coming up on Sunday from Cleveland. Setting the over-under on sacks for Myles Garrett at 5.
After yesterday, that sounds about right.
He's already at 19 this year and still hasn't played the Titans. Michael Strahan, look out. That record might be up for grabs. He still holds it, right? TJ Watt didn't catch him, did he?
I think he did. He tied him. I'll have to double check.
NFL
that.
Single season sack record. I mean, already with 19, and you get to face the Titans this late. I would not doubt. Yeah, so TJ Watt did tie him 22.5 in 2021. So he's already only 3.5 away. He could break it this week. He really could. I think Myles Garrett could break the sack record this week. All he needs is 4. That doesn't seem like that much. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. It became abundantly clear yesterday that the Titans desperately need a change in leadership. They need somebody who can come in and set a culture in this locker room, because there isn't one right now. There really isn't. You look at what Cam Ward said after the game, and Cam saying, yeah, we need to be going for it on 4th and 3. What do we have to lose? And Mike McCoy saying, if it had been 4th and 2, we would have gone for it. Jeffrey Simmons being asked what they need in a new head coach and saying, we need a leader. We need somebody who can come in, command this locker room. Arden Key seemingly having stuff that he can't say because he'd get in trouble. There is no identity to this team right now. Mike McCoy has lost the locker room, right? And it's disappointing, because usually interim head coaches do the opposite, right? It's like the guy before you, the message got stale, he wasn't performing enough, and you bring in the interim guy, and he plays it a little looser, nothing to lose, you're an interim head coach, and the players usually respect him for it, and they'll play for that guy. Mike McCoy has done the complete opposite. And it's clear that this team does not want to play for Mike McCoy. Like, this team does not I don't want to say they don't respect him, but they don't respect his leadership, clearly, because nobody's coming out and saying, hey, Mike McCoy should be the next head coach of this football team, which is usually what happens with interim head coaches. Whether they deserve it or not, the players are usually the ones who are advocating for this guy. Look at Penn State with Terry Smith right now. You've got players holding up hire Terry signs. You saw it in LA with Bisaccia, Las Vegas with Bisaccia, and with who did they have last year? Who they fired?
Antonio Pierce.
Yeah, you've seen it with these interim head coaches. No one's holding up signs saying hire Mike. And I forget who called in and said if he gets an interview. I think it was Dustin. Dustin said if Mike McCoy gets an interview, he's going to be disgusted. Yeah, Mike McCoy should not get an interview to be the head coach of the Titans. It would be a complete waste of time to even talk to Mike McCoy after this season. His interview is these last 10 games that you've seen from him. And guess what? He failed. It has been horrible. And again, I said it after the last segment. We got 5 more games to get through. Just hunker down, Titans fans. It's almost over. The pain is almost over, and then we can go to the offseason where, at the very least, you can find some hope, right? Where you don't have to watch this team kick you every single time on Sunday that they go out on the field. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Fred is called in. Fred, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Game yesterday was determined when we kicked the field goal on the first drive.
The game was determined when they kicked the field goal?
The fate of the game was determined when the decision was made by the coaching staff to kick the field goal on that 4th down. The coaching staff said by their actions they have no confidence in any phase of the team's ability to do anything. They didn't trust the quarterback. They didn't trust the offensive line. They said, we're not going to win, so let's just go ahead and get the 3 points and call it a day. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Fred. Yeah, that decision didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Your offense had some rhythm, and the explanation made even less sense of, oh, if it's 4th and 2, we were going for it. Well, Mike, 4th-and-2 isn't close enough to QB sneak, which maybe that's the thought was, oh, we could sneak it if we get it a little closer. 4th-and-2, you're probably passing the football. So did your best play for 4th down only get you 2 yards? Is that what you're telling us? Is that, oh, 4th-and-2, we had a play for that. Didn't have a play for 4th-and-3. Nothing that he says makes sense, and it's almost over. One more month. Jack on the text line says, please stop it. It's not the coach. The team organization stinks, in all caps. Can't both be true, right? Like, yes, the team and the organization has been horrible for the last 5 years, basically, since you lost to the Bengals in the playoffs. But Mike McCoy's also not a good coach. Like, that both can be true, that the organization has failed over the last 5 years, but Mike McCoy has failed as the interim head coach. 9194 says they need to fire McCoy now. And I understand the sentiment of that because it's been as bad, if not worse, than Callahan. But firing the interim head coach not only sends your team into more disarray, because guess what? Then you'd have to move Bones Fossil probably to be your interim head coach, which maybe take some of the special teams prowess that we've seen away. And you also just show how disoriented this organization is. Disorganized. You can't fire the interim head coach. You just got to, again, hunker down, take your beatings for the next 5 weeks, and move on to the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, you can't feed into the dysfunction that is the organization right now. Not only can you not do it for the sake of your team, but you can't do it even just from a perception perspective. Because right now, I don't think that there is an organization, arguably in all of professional sports, that is as dysfunctional as what the Tennessee Titans have been for the last 3 or 4 years. And that's not just Nashville media and Titans fans saying that. It has become a national talking point of how dysfunctional this organization is right now. If you are the first organization to ever fire an interim head coach, how much does that add to it? You can't do that.
I mean, Amy, we've already heard that Amy cares so much about the public perception. Like she said, I don't want to get slammed by the media for this head coaching hire. You can't fire the interim head coach. As much as he may deserve it, you can't do it. I mean, and I wrote this down too. We haven't even gotten to it yet. The Titans gave the Jaguars 10 points on penalties yesterday. Like that is a discipline issue of the key roughing the passer at the end of the half. The one thing you cannot do on a Hail Mary is get a defensive penalty. Trevor Lawrence was rolling out to his right. The half was over. Just let him go out of bounds or throw it into the seats. He was not going to complete a Hail Mary on that play. Arden Key gets called for roughing the passer, and boom, you give him 3 points at the end of the half. Then in the second half, the roughing the punter was a bad call, but you extended a drive that the Jaguars ended up putting the game away in. There is nothing going right for this team in terms of in-game coaching, in terms of discipline. It's horrible. And I agree that there are much worse underlying problems than Mike McCoy, but I am so excited to get a real head coach back to this organization. The bar is so low. It's so low for this next head coach. We talk about whether this job is attractive for head coaches, and I understand the outside view of, hey, you might get fired in 2 years, and you know, do you like Cam Ward is going to be a big question. But you also go into it knowing that this team has won 10 games in 3 years. If you go out and go 5-12 next year, they might build you a statue outside the new stadium, because it has been that bad that if you can get this team back to any level of competency, you're going to be a hero. So we'll see. We got a month to go, and then we can start getting head coaching interviews and talk about who that's going to be, and then get towards the offseason where the Titans will hopefully add some more talent to this team. Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our friend Dr. Locke has called in. Dr. Locke, what you got for us today?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Doing great.
Look, man, with the world of sports gambling and the uncertainty that is the NFL, the one certain is lay the points on the Titans. I mean, it was at halftime, you were up to, what, 15-3? I mean, it was easy money. That was they were never gonna stay within six and a half of a playoff team. That was, you know, that was easy money.
Yeah, it's not a bad point, Dr. Locke.
I mean, they you bet against the Titans, right? You lay the points with the team they're playing, and it's coming in 80% of the time. Just saying, that's a solid. I'm picking 60-65% winners. If I was picking 80% winners, I'd be living in Vegas.
Thanks for the call, and congrats to your Buckeyes. Good luck this weekend against Indiana.
I don't need luck, baby. I got Tate, right? I got Jeremiah Smith, and I got a Heisman quarterback. I'm just saying.
Thanks for the call, Dr. Locke. Heisman quarterback remains to be seen. We'll talk about that in the next hour. We are going to get off of the Titans here, get into some college football. Vanderbilt goes into Knoxville and beats the Vols by 21. Is it enough to get them into the college football playoff? Was it enough to get Diego Pavia a Heisman Trophy? We'll talk about it in the next hour. Jake Lyman, Brandon Bigsby, next man up, 102.5 The Game.